Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
So, how are you?
Mate, I'm really good. I'm actually having a really good week. You know, when you feel very productive and you get things ticked off your list, I just feel like for like the last, I would say, 6 months, I've sort of been flying by the seat of my pants and like chucking shit at the wall and just seeing which bit sticks. But you'll be pleased with me like organizing curtains and pushing covers and hoovering. I'm making packed lunches. I mean, I'm doing it.
You're a domestic goddess.
Oh, fucking hell, I really hate it. No, actually, there's something quite satisfying about just feeling like maybe you're a bit more on top of things. I mean, it's not going to last, but I'm running with it.
Don't say that. It might last. The bits that are important to you will last, and the bits that aren't won't. I always think that.
Yes, I agree. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm so happy that I've only got one day and I'm allowed out into the world again. But I was laughing because literally after our chat on Tuesday, you were like, are you not having a meltdown? Are you not having a breakdown at any time? And I was like, no, not really. Yeah. And then literally after I got off that chat, I was getting really annoyed with James, Judgy James.
Of course.
Because he is so judgy. That's the reason why I call him Judgy James, because he is really judgy. He's like the judgiest person ever.
What's he been judging you on this time?
Oh, he judges me on everything, like the way I walk, the way I breathe, the way I brush my hair. I mean, honestly, anyone who knows him will know exactly what I mean. He will pull you apart on how you do your laces up. I mean, it's extreme. Anyway, so he pulled out of the room and I went, oh, I hate you, like that. And I didn't realise Axel was there, and that was it. Like, obviously, it was all done and I'd calmed down and it was cool when he came back in the room. And then Axel goes, Daddy, who hates you?
Oh no, Axel, you little
shit. I know, so I got grassed up by Axel, so that was great.
Oh, did you say it under your breath or did you say it quite loudly?
No, I said it quite loudly.
Okay,
well, I mean, I sort of wanted him to hear it, but he didn't.
What I love about this is how we sort of use the start of each Q&A podcast is basically like a marriage therapy session for you and James, because he is getting more and more irritating, isn't he? I mean, we love him, but
he's so irritating.
Everything before but is bullshit anyway. He's lovely, but no James, but we love you, and he's a fan of the podcast as well, so it's great to have him listening in today. Now today's Q&A is going to be an ask us anything. So we put out on Made by Mamas for you guys to send in all of your questions, anything from beauty to fashion to sleep to sex to whatever it is that you wanted to know about us. We asked and you have sent in your questions, and we're just going to get into it.
Yeah, let's go. So let's start with Sarah's question. How do you find your identity and style again after becoming a mother?
Right. Well, I definitely found this difficult because I actually look back at photographs of myself during my pregnancy, and my style, well, I didn't have any style. I found it really, really difficult to know how to dress the bump. And actually, we hear this a lot. You know, people message us all the time saying, if you're used to wearing kind of high-waisted, you know, jeans, t-shirts tucked in, you know, like if you've got a similar style to Georgia and I, it's quite difficult because you've got this bump and you can't wear things tucked in because it just looks strange. So I just ended up wearing all this peculiar bits and pieces. Like, I see some women, they look so chic in their like knit dresses, and I just look like a bag of bones, I felt. But and then it took me a while afterwards to kind of figure out I wasn't the same person. So I was dressing differently, and it's definitely taken me a couple of years to really get back into my flow again. Would you say the same thing?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Like, I've always loved wearing dresses and, you know, being a little bit, I don't know, random sequin trousers and being a little bit more, I don't know.
You're quite boho-y. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes like wearing something a bit like out there. And I thought after I had Axel, I kind of reined that in a bit. And I think it was probably because obviously we wasn't living in London anymore. And in London, you can kind of get away with wearing whatever you want, can't you? Whenever, anything goes. And
in
I
a
don't
big
know
city,
why.
I think you can.
Yeah, in a city. Yeah, and I don't know why, because you can wear whatever you want anywhere anyway, but I didn't feel comfortable wearing the things that I used to wear, you know, just going to a coffee, you know, going for a coffee or just going shopping. And I think I pared it back a bit too much, and I kind of felt a bit about dressing in general. And then I think, you know, more recently I'm sort of getting back into it again, and sort of thinking, well, if I want to wear like flipping silver sequin trousers with a jumper on the school run, then I will.
Yeah, good.
You know, it's you know, I dress more comfortably now. Like, I dress comfortably, you know, I wouldn't wear a pair of high heels on the school run because it's not comfortable, but I would wear, like, I don't know, it's like I said, sequin trousers, because why not?
And I think Sarah, it's very, you know, you do spend the first kind of 6 months to a year just solely focusing all of your energies on raising baby and, you know, finding out who you are as a mother. And, you know, you even stop reading magazines or looking at Instagram for inspiration because you're just solely focused on it. And that's right for you. That works for you. But I think as you come out of the phase and out of the newborn bubble, you start thinking, right, well, what do I want to do to make me feel good again? And, you know, it's not just obviously what we wear, it's how we feel inside as well. So I think when you get your throttle back a little bit, you will become braver with your fashion choices as well.
And just doing things that you enjoy doing. We've said this before, haven't we, Zoe?
Yes.
It's so important to reconnect with the things that make you happy. And if that is, you know, going for drinks a few times a week, then you do it. Like, you have to do it. You want to stay in touch with you.
Yes.
And what makes you happy.
And finding, so. I also think, you know, finding your own identity isn't just about the clothes that we wear. It's more about having the right headspace and feeling like you can handle stuff again and figuring out what you love again after becoming a mother. And that might take a little bit of time, and you're going to go back and forth and around the houses, but you will get there. You will get there. Now, if you could live anywhere else in the world, where would it be? G?
Oh, you go first on this one.
Ibiza.
Oh, yes.
I would live in Ibiza because, firstly, as you know, because you know me so well, I need music. I don't just like music. I don't just love it. I need it. I eat, sleep and breathe it. It can transform my mood in a moment. And I love Ibiza for its boho-ness and for its freedom and for its dancing and its nightlife and the DJs, and I love the beaches. I just feel I'm a better version of myself when I'm there. I have some great friends there. I think Dozer and I will end up there.
Oh, do you know what? I have so many places in my head. So, like, practically, I'd probably go and live back in Portugal because, like you say, like, I've got people that I know there. I feel very comfortable there. I love the beaches. I love the food. But then if distance wasn't a thing, I'd probably go and live in Bali or somewhere like that. I like the chilled kind of life. I like the food. I mean, I've said that twice, but food is quite important to me. I just the chilled like lifestyle that you can get. But I wouldn't go that far because of my family.
Yeah, but you could wear sparkly sequin trousers on the beach every day.
Exactly. No one would care. So, yeah, but that would be me. Right, whose idea was it to launch Made by Mamas the podcast? Oh, Made by Mamas, love the podcast.
Oh, it's a joke.
It was actually.
Yeah, I don't think either of us could say it was the other one, because it came from obviously from that meeting in the coffee shop, and then it all the conversations that we had afterwards over the course of sort of 12 months, and suddenly we'd arrived at this business idea, which really wasn't supposed to be a business to begin with. It was more about forming a community, which fundamentally is what we're about anyway. So I think together we're like Ren and Stimpy, aren't we? Morecambe and Wise.
Morecambe and Wise. It just gets better. What was I the other day? The oil to Peter Andre's Peter, something.
You're the oil to Peter Andre's torso in the Mysterious Girl video.
Yeah, thanks.
Right, love it.
This is a question from Jess. How do you deal with mum guilt? I feel like Jess ends up rearranging her plans all the time and doing things that everybody else wants her to do, but maybe not what she really wants to do. Georgia.
Firstly, you should go back and listen to the episode that we did with Caroline Britton, because there is so much in that episode to learn from and I learned from. We recorded that during lockdown when, you know, my family were literally at my beck and call 24 hours a day and I wasn't getting any time to do anything for myself, and I'd sort of neglected myself a little bit. And it was about changing the language. So not being like, oh, I never have time to do this. It's about talking. Listen, I need some time to do this. I owe it to myself to have this time. I deserve this time. And so it's about changing your mindset and not putting yourself second or third or whatever. It's just about putting yourself somewhere and giving yourself time to do the things that you want to do. It's difficult because it's a balance and it's a juggling act having a family. But ultimately, yeah, they'll get the best from you if you're happy.
Yeah, really good advice. You cannot neglect what you really need in life. And I've said this before, we've said this before, that when you become a mother, you're just at the bottom of the pile. Everything comes before you, including the washing, the cleaning, the cooking and looking after your partner. And that's just not how it should be. You know, leave the fucking washing and book in something for you. Go and hang out with a friend, go for a coffee, go for an early dinner, which is where we are at the moment. You know, some people around the country that are listening to this are in full lockdown. So finding that time is even harder, but it might even be as simple as leaving your children with your partner or a parent or whatever, and just going for a walk on your own and just listening to a piece of music or listening to a podcast or whatever it is that you need. It's very important that you do that. Otherwise, like Georgia said, you spend your whole day being angry.
Yeah, exactly. It's not good for anybody.
No.
This really made me laugh, this next question. How to deal with a critical husband working from home while I look after a baby? You've got a Judgy James.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's the worst. It's actually the worst.
God. What? I mean, I think, again, it's about really like standing in your own power and owning your stuff. Nobody, including your husband or wife, has the right to turn around to you and say that you're doing something wrong or that you're not doing it quite right or making a comment to you. It's like, you know, you do you, let me do me. We share this baby, so you can do it your way if you want, and I'm going to do it my way, and that's absolutely fine. Or I know better off. Let's find a way that we can do it together without criticizing one or the other.
It's exactly.
Oh, nothing worse than having a wagging finger.
Yeah. Do you know what? This is one of the things that I talk to a lot of like my mates about the most. We all seem to have husbands who, you know, want to take it upon themselves to tell us that we're not doing something right, that we do all the time when they're not there. And we've all found that actually letting them know, not bashing back their comment, like, oh, will you do it then? Or, you know, being cross, but actually letting them know how the criticizing makes you feel all the time. Mm. And that actually, if you keep criticizing someone, they'll either, you know, completely lose their confidence, or it just goes over their head like it does with me. You know, even if James is right, I don't even listen anymore. It goes over my head.
I do think, though, that sometimes it's their way of saying that they want to be more involved, and I think it's a funny thing to even think that that's maybe what they're trying to say, but sometimes if I ever hear it or see it, it's about them being heard. So I think there's a way of communicating and saying to them, listen, I hear what you're saying and I value your opinion, but I'm just going to do it how I'm going to do it now, or we can talk about your way. I know in the heat of the moment you just want to go, oh, just fuck off. Like, leave me alone. Yeah. It drives you mad. But actually, I think there's a subtext in there which a lot of people miss. They can't come out and say, listen, actually, you know, I've got an opinion here. I've got an idea. Because Dozer says to me, you know what? You're too controlling sometimes. And if it's not done your way, and it like destroys me because I don't feel like I'm a controlling person. But actually, it's more about him feeling valued. And I just need to make sure that he always feels valued and always feels equal.
Yeah. And also, it's about the way that they, you know, get their point across as well. So if you let them know that you don't like the way that they're saying it, and maybe if they said something in a different way, and like you say, you worked on it together, then it's fine. Mm. Just like Zoe said, I think a lot of people are trying, you know, finding their feet at home together at the moment when that's not usually the case. You know, one might be at work or both of you might be at work and you're not really in this situation very much. So, everyone's finding their feet with that, I'd say.
Definitely. I have such a passionate love for my daughter, which reminds me of Zoe's for Luna. But I now have a son and the love feels different. Do you feel like that with your kids and is it normal? Definitely normal.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have a different relationship with different children, would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and I don't know if it's the ages or the stages that they're at. But yeah, I mean, also, I'll be completely honest. Some weeks I like one child more than I like the other.
I love you, Georgia. You're allowed to say that.
One week I think, oh God, Gigi, you're an absolute dick. And Axel, you're an angel. And then, you know, the next week it's completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. And I think the love, you can't question love. You can't. Love is love, right? And that's the thing that kind of brings us all together. And it's not really about love. It's about finding special ways to bond with your children. And I think for me, I needed to take a slight step back from that intense passion that I felt for Luna and give some space to Kit. And now I'm having every single Thursday with him. And it's like I said to you when we weren't recording, it feels like I'm going on a date with my son every Thursday. And we have this amazing time together. And I just feel so wonderful, and he loves it, and it's just we're doing all these brilliant things as a two, and I really needed that. And I think if you have a child and you have, you know, a couple of years with that child and then a new one comes along, you almost feel guilty for breaking the bond with the first child, you know. How am I going to love anything as much as I love this child? And will my eldest feel that I've put them to the side to make space for a new baby? And all of those things are completely natural. So I think it's about trying to make time for them both individually to make sure you're connecting with them. And also that passionate love, it never goes away. I mean, my mum still feels it for me. She says that her heart's going to burst out of her chest every day because she loves me so much.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know, that's a lot though, isn't it? Best place to buy a sexy pair of jeans that hides the mum tum?
God, there's so many amazing places to buy jeans on the high street.
Yes.
And I think it just depends on your body shape, the style of jean that you like. We both like River Island for jeans. Topshop jeans are amazing. You've got the editor jeans, haven't you, Zoe? I've also got those. They're high-waisted and they're thicker denim. They're like thicker denim that you feel like very supported in them, I'd say.
Yes, because you know sometimes when you buy a pair of very skinny jeans and they're almost like a jegging and they sort of show every single lump and bump and they don't make you feel very sexy, it's almost as if you're sort of bursting out of them a bit. I definitely feel that with some of my jeans that I used to have before kids. And so yeah, the Topshop editor jeans are must have really for autumn winter because they're high-waisted, they're straight leg, so they kind of cut you in a really flattering way, and like Georgia said, they're a thicker denim, so they really hide the mum tum. They're really great. Also, H&M have got some fantastic pieces for autumn winter. Their denim selection is incredible.
Yeah, I think the thing that will make you feel sexy in a pair of jeans is that they fit properly.
Yeah.
And I think it's about finding the jeans that fit you right and that you feel really comfortable in. There's a pair in River Island called the Blair Jean, which I really like. They're a bit smaller on the waist and a bit bigger on the bum, which is perfect for me. But, you know, someone else might not like those jeans because they won't. I think you've just got to really try, and then once you find that style, then you're sorted, aren't you?
Yeah, and also if you do want to spend a little bit more, because I think it's really, if you can, invest in, you know, one or two sort of more expensive pairs of jeans because they just last. Like, you know, J Brand do the best jeans, but they're kind of 250, 300 quid.
Yeah.
Hopefully a bit of variety for you there.
So we'll be back right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back. Now, where were we?
A parenting milestone you're looking forward to.
That's an interesting question.
It is, isn't it?
Tell you the one I'm not looking forward to.
Go on.
I've met a boy. I've met a girl. No!
Which one are you not looking forward to the most out of those two?
Well, I mean, the whole thing, I just can't speak about it. I just know what I'm like. You know, if Luna comes to me and says, you know, I've met somebody, I'll freak out, I think, because I'll know what I did at that age. And
yeah,
and
I hope
you won't behave like that. what about you? A parenting milestone that you're looking forward to?
With Gigi, I'm looking forward to her talking properly, for sure, because at the moment she's really trying and she gets really frustrated, but I think you get their personality so much more, don't you, as soon as they start talking properly. And do you know what, with Axel, what am I looking forward to? Parenting milestone. I'm not really sure. The day you can drive me somewhere and pick me up from a bar.
Meet you there, mate.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
I can't wait to watch the kids if they're sporty. I think seeing them playing in an actual match, because I used to love doing that. Like, I was into my tennis and hockey and netball and all sorts of stuff. And hopefully, you know, if the kids are sporty, you know, obviously they do whatever they want to do. But I think that would be quite a nice milestone to reach. I'll look forward to Luna in running race, because she loves running and she practices all the time. That'll be cute.
I know what you mean. Actually, that makes me feel a bit nervous. Even you just saying that makes me feel nervous.
Yeah, can they just stay looking
like,
forever?
Watching them in a sporting match. Oh, my goodness.
Where do you want to be in 5 years' time?
Wowza. I can't even think about 5 minutes' time.
I would like to be in a home that we have bought. And I would like, or built, because our dream is to buy a plot of land and build a house on it.
Build a house. We were talking about this last night, actually.
Were you?
Yeah.
I would just love to do it. We're nowhere near it. We've got a lot of saving to do, and I'm not very good at saving because I just like all the clothes and all the shoes, but I'm trying really hard. So I'd really like to be in that place where we've actually created a home that we own and that we can, you know, our forever home, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think Dozer and I just finding more moments to do stuff for us. A bit more travel would be great. I would love to go and take the kids to South America. I've never been there. My dad spent a long time in Brazil and Argentina, and I'm desperate to go back, to go there even.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you actually on the travel. With James's job, we're quite restricted to where we can travel together and, you know, what times of year and all that kind of stuff. So 5 years' time, I am looking forward to being able to travel more and go on more weekend breaks and city breaks and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And also, I'm really, really loving renovating this house.
Yeah.
And we said we were going to stay here for a while, but now I feel like I've got that renovating bug.
You're so good at it.
I want to do it again. I really love it. I think we also underestimated how much space we need. We thought that we'd be okay in a smaller house, and actually we're like, oh, we should have gone for a bigger house. So I would, you know, 5 years time, I'd like to maybe be renovating our forever home, or like a bigger space for sure.
Yeah. And then in terms of the business, we just want to keep the conversation going. That's a whole podcast for Georgia.
That is a whole podcast. We've got so many goals for the business. We'd be going on for hours if we started on that.
Alex wants to know the best skincare, particularly cleansing regime products for time poor mums.
Firstly, cleansing, you know, setting aside 5 minutes in the morning or 5 minutes in the evening is all you really need for a good cleansing routine. In terms of brands, I love Beauty Pie. I've sort of gone on about this brand for ages, but they are really, really good. There's some amazing cleansers on there, and you have to sign up as like a member. I pay £10 a month to be a member, and then I get the products at a very low price. But it does mean you're like committed to your skincare almost. So it makes me stay on top of it. When I'm running out, I will reorder like straight away. I don't know about you, but I literally just cleanse. I've got an acid toner, and then I use a retinol, an eye cream, and then a moisturizer. And there's five things. Sounds like a lot, but actually it only takes me 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening.
Yeah, so I'm the same as you. Obviously, we don't have a lot of time. In the evening, Georgia and I are big hot oil cleansing fans, and there are a few that we really love. Madara are a Latvian company. They don't use any nasties, so it's not tested on animals, obviously. It's all natural. I hosted a Q&A for her. She basically gets all of her ingredients from the natural world, forests and trees and grass and all that.
Wow. Kind of.
Yeah, so Madara cleansing oil is amazing. The whole range is really lovely, actually. They've got a really amazing serum. And then obviously a flannel on the face, and that is very quick and easy. That's how I take my makeup off in the evening now. In the morning, I either use the simple products for cleansing and toning. They're obviously not expensive at all. You just get them in Boots, or I use Ulla Hendrickson. There's a dark spot toner, which I use.
Ah, I love it. How really good is love that? It. So good. Yeah, I'm nearly finished, actually. I'll definitely be buying again.
Yeah, amazing. And just obviously then I always use a serum. I am a big Murad fan, as I've spoken about before, and then a moisturizer with vitamin C in it, always for my pigmentation. And I have just started using Dr. Obagi for my melasma. Oh my God, my skin has completely transformed in the last month, and I'm about to do a series of before and after shots just to show you what's happened to my dark spots. You cannot buy this product from the high street. You have to get it prescribed from a dermatologist, and I'm telling you now, it's not cheap. It was about 150 quid for this pot, but it lasts for 3 months, and I can actually go out without makeup on now.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you don't have to spend on certain aspects of your skincare. Like, you don't really need to spend on a cleanser.
No.
To a certain point, you don't really need to spend on a moisturizer.
No.
You just need to spend on the active ingredients.
Yes.
So, you know, things like that. The stuff that, you know, changes your skin is the place to spend.
Yep.
How do you both create such fab wavy hair, and how do you manage to do it with kids? I'm laughing because I'm literally looking at my hair in the mirror, and it hasn't been washed for about 5 days.
Oh my God, your hair always looks nice. You're like 90% dry shampoo though at the moment, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. When I've not got to go anywhere, I'm not doing any waves.
Both Georgia and I can achieve. We're going to do another hair tutorial, but basically we can achieve that wavy look in under 10 minutes. So actually, if you have washed and dried your hair the night before, which I think is always a big tip, trying to do it in the morning when you've got kids.
I was going to say, split it up, do the washing and the drying the night before is like the best tip.
Yeah, and then literally just take segments of the hair, wrap it around a barrel tong, leave it for, you know, 10 seconds, take it out, shake the whole head out, spray it with hairspray, and you're good to go. It really doesn't take that long.
At that point,
I put both my children in front of the telly and they watch Peppa for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Telly time is tonging time, isn't it?
Telly time is tonging time.
It is. Yeah. And also that does last as well. You don't have to do that every day.
Yeah.
And also you don't have to do your whole head every day. So if it's looking like a little bit ropey after 2 days or whatever, you can just pick the tongs up and just do around your face or whatever.
Yeah, and then what look like in a bun, dry shampoo.
Yeah, I like exactly. Yeah. Girls' names you like, please. 28 weeks and struggling.
Girl's name is so difficult, isn't it?
Do you know what? I think I might have a list on my phone of names before we had Gigi. I do. I've got a list.
Go.
Right. There's loads. I had Bloom, Marlowe, Viola, Bloom. Luella. Bloom.
I might take
Luella,
the piss out of
Lila. You can take the piss out of me. I'm not offended. TB, Nova, Tallulah, Blossom, Lulu, Aria. I had loads. Myla, Opal, Lumi, Colette, Sage. And then I had Gigi and Gisella. And that's where I ended up.
They're really nice ones. They're all very floral.
They are, aren't they? Yeah. That must have been where I was at that
Sage
stage.
And Bloom.
Sage, Bloom, yeah.
I think with names, it's so difficult for anybody to give you advice on it because they are so personal. I know some people that didn't name their children until they literally had to go to register and they were still arguing about what the name was going to be. So I think definitely get yourself a name book, have a look online, think about all the people that you know in the public eye whose names you like and just create a list and just keep adding to it. I only have one name. And that is what, if Kit wasn't Kit, he would have been River. And I just love it so much.
I like that. Yeah, I like the name.
Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara have just had a baby together and they've called him River after Phoenix's little brother who died. And I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is a beautiful name.
Can you call your girl River? I think you can.
Yeah, of course you can.
River.
Absolute yeah. River. Yeah.
Do
you
it.
Can what definitely call a girl River.
Yeah, love
there
that.
There we go, River.
Done, sorted. My toddler has started taking over an hour to eat his meals. What do I do? That's Steph.
Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like my four-year-old does this as well. Because
Luna
he never stops
too.
Talking. Yeah. We sort of went through this a lot during the first lockdown. And we were getting really cross with Axel at mealtimes. And it was just so stressful. Like every evening we'd sit down to eat together and it would just be horrible. Like, come on, Axel, you know, come on, keep eating. I think you've either got to just take the pressure off them, let them sit and watch something so they just feel completely at ease and they'll just eat, or just let them take the time.
Yeah.
Like, just sit with them, chat with them. Like, this is what we did with Axel. As soon as we stopped going on at him to hurry up, he would eat quicker, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Luna's exactly the same. So I hear you, and I think the minute that we started putting the pressure on her and being like, come on, hurry up. She'd be like, you know, it's so stressful. Imagine if someone was saying to you the whole time, go on, hurry up. And you're just like, I just want to take my food.
Until
some children, like some adults, wolf their food down like Dozza and Kit. And then others like Luna and me, we just kind of take our time over it. It is frustrating when you know that you've only got a small window and it's just dragging on and on and on. I think, some children definitely respond better when things are put into like sections on like one of those really lovely wooden plates or, you know, the reusable plasticky ones. And so that they can take it in small size portions, if you see what I mean. Like if there's like...
Yeah, it's not overbearing.
It's not overbearing
for
them. Yeah. Yeah. That's tricky. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, and also, just to say, I don't know how old your toddler is, but once they start preschool or school, they get into the habit of eating faster because it's lunchtime and they're not allowed to go out and play or, you know, do their next activity until they finish their lunch, and they'll see other kids doing it and then get into the habit of eating faster. I've noticed it with Axel for sure, like over the last few weeks since he's been at school, he is a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Tips on moving little girl 2 years old to a big girl bed before the baby arrives.
Oh, we had to do this with Luna and Kit.
Oh, you did? Yes. Yeah.
I think my ultimate tip on this subject is to make sure that your eldest doesn't feel that they are moving out of their bed as a necessity for the baby. So it's not like, oh, look, you've got to get your head around this because baby's coming and baby's going to be in your bed, your cot. It's more about not even mentioning the fact that you know, new baby's going to go in the cot. It's about making sure that your eldest is like, right, sit them down and say, you are a big grown up. Is it little girl? Yeah. You're a big grown up girl. And because you've been so well behaved and because you're amazing, we are moving you into your own bed where big grown up girls sleep. And then you can say to them, right, you can pick your own. We're going to go to wherever we're going to go. We're going to choose it online if you can't go out and choose the bedding. You know, yeah, whatever they want, whatever they're into, make sure that they have a choice in that and are really involved in that process, and then set up the bed with them. And then it's basically about making sure that that new space, because they can sometimes feel when they move from a cot to a big bed that they're suddenly like floundering around, you know, make sure there's a really nice nightlight in there. Or we've just done this thing with Luna where we've got these beautiful fairy lights, which are just quite really low dim lights, but they're just sort of twinkling around her. So she feels like it's her safe space. And then, yeah, you're going to have a few nights where they're probably getting up and coming in or shouting out because they're freaked out or whatever, but it's all about the language around it.
Yeah, I just want to add exactly how Zoe said, it's really important to not make them feel like they're being pushed out of the cot to make room for the new baby. And then anything you do around that is absolutely fine.
Yeah, agreed. Really good. Right, good luck with it. Let us know how you go. I love this one from Hannah. Hannah, you and I are spirit animals. Best beverage to avoid hangover with a newborn. So far, Prosecco is winning. Hannah, I bloody love you.
Absolutely, yes.
I would say my go-to always, and I never get hangovers, is a vodka soda, fresh lime.
Vodka. See, mine's a gin and tonic.
It's the same thing, really.
Yeah, it's a clear spirit, isn't it? It's a clear spirit. And does the soda maybe hydrate you?
Yeah, it does, I don't know. At the same time.
But also Prosecco, absolutely. I can't drink wine. I said this to Zoe the other week. I feel like I'm allergic. I think some people just can't deal with like white wine or red wine. So yeah, keep going with the Prosecco.
I love it.
Do you feel competitive with other mums?
God, no.
Love. Oh my gosh. No, I'm actually really not that competitive in general.
No, you're not.
Like, in general, I'm not competitive. Like, even if I go bowling, I don't care. Like, you really couldn't care less if I came last. Yeah, I'll put the sides up. Like, I'm really not a competitive person. And it really winds James up, because, you know, like if we're playing tennis or whatever, I just don't care. I really don't. So no, I'm not a competitive mum.
But also, you're really secure and happy in the person that you are and your decisions and choices and stuff. And that's one thing I really admire about you, G, is that you don't really get flaffed or kind of upset about things. You just kind of, you stand in your own decisions. I really love that about you. And I think if you don't let anybody else's stuff affect the way that you deal with your own life, as in people are going to be competitive with you, they are going to, you know, you are going to get those people that, you know, potentially want to uptip you and tell you that you're doing something and it's not right, or say that their child is better than your child. But just kill them with kindness, give them a big smile, an elbow pump, and say, have a lovely day, see you later, and off you go. Don't let it worry you.
It says more about them and their insecurities than it does about you.
Totally.
I mean, gosh, I wouldn't even know where to start with being competitive as a parent. You'd fall apart, really, wouldn't you? You can't go down that road.
I also feel like flicking somebody the bird is also just a really good way.
Yes, if in doubt, that is the best thing to do.
Georgia, do you miss your old job? Laura.
Do you know what I actually do? Yeah. I actually do miss it. But I think everybody's probably missing their old life at the moment. You know, everybody can relate to missing getting up, getting on the train or however you get to work, going for your lunch, like having that hour to yourself or however long you get. I miss the time on the train. I miss having adult conversation every day. I used to work in beauty, so I miss learning about beauty. I miss going to see brands. Yes, I do miss it.
Bless you.
Yeah,
it's difficult, but you know what, you never know what's coming around the corner. And
exactly, you've got to do what's right at the time for you.
This one's interesting. What did you both study at university? I don't think I know this about you.
So I went to the London College of Fashion and I studied fashion journalism.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did. And there was a lot of PR in the course. I don't think I even really knew what PR was when I went to uni, to be honest with you. And then, yeah, that's what I did. What about you, Zoe?
Didn't go to uni. Did not go to university. I had a real thing about going because I obviously wanted to be a presenter. So I basically just moved to London and I worked on the reception of a TV production company, which was Flextech, which had Bravo, UK TV, and all those channels living inside it. And anybody that came in, anybody that was coming in for a meeting, like any producers or execs or anything, I was like, hello, I'm Zoe, I want to be a presenter. And they're like, yeah, no, that's, we've just come to see.
Here's my showreel. Oh, what's that on in reception on the TV?
you laugh, but that is exactly what I did. That is exactly what I did.
But it worked, so that's good then, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, how hysterical. I bet they were like, God, I wish she would go. And then the last question, who's your favourite friend?
Oh my God, that's my friend who said that. Katie Speed, sending that question in.
Is Lucy your favourite friend?
Yeah, yes, Katie. Lucy's my favourite friend. Lucy is
my favourite
friend.
Have you seen Katie friends? Because this could end really badly.
Yes, they are.
Lucy and Katie.
Lucy and Katie are my favourite friends. So, who's your favourite friend?
Well, people ask us all the time. People say to us, oh my God, have you guys been best friends for years? And I'm like, no, we met in a coffee shop 4 years ago.
So yeah, we met when we had our kids.
George and I are good friends, but we run this team together, don't we? So in a way, it's quite good that we're not like best mates, because I don't think we could do it if we were.
No, I don't think that you can, especially if you're in the same group of friends. I think that's really, really tough, because then you never have any escape from your work and your sort of social life. And it's nice, obviously, to cross over. But
you're my work wife.
It's mad, actually. You are. And you know what? In my WhatsApp list, you're always at the top.
Oh, same. We'll get a bit jealous about that. She's like, how is Georgia at the top? And I'm like, babe, she's more important. Right, that is the end of the podcast for this week. Thank you so much for sending in all of your questions. We obviously didn't get through them all, but we'll do another one in a month or so. And as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast and spread the Made by Mama's word, please.
Yeah, please do. And also you can drop us a message, ask us anything you want by DMing us at Made by Mama's or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we will see you on Tuesday for a really exciting episode.
See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.